20, 30 minutes. I mean, as long as you want. I'll keep you as long as you'll let me keep you. I just, but, you know, out of respect. 20, 30 minutes is perfect. All right. Live on Facebook and live on YouTube. I don't know why I point to the other camera, but I am here. Welcome to AJTV episode 20. Today we are talking about the one thing in empire building with a friend of mine, mentor of mine, mentor of lots of people. His name is Mr. Jeff Woods, and Jeff is going to get started with us here in just a few minutes. Jeff, if you want to say what's up, and we can also test your audio as we do this pre-show.
Yeah, what's up everyone? Can people on the Facebook Live actually see me?
They can see you right now. Your face is
yes!
Bright. Yes, finally. It's a dream come true for anybody watching.
It's a good hair day. Oh.
It is a great hair day.
Oh, thank you.
Is that something you do or your assistant does it?
No, my assistant. We're not going there.
No, we're not going to go there. But that's awesome. What's going on with you, man? What's new in the life of Jeff Woods? What are you working on today that's exciting you?
Yeah, it's you know, for people who are familiar with the book, The One Thing, this is what it looks like. I'm on my third One Thing of the year, and the idea of The One Thing is that what's the one thing you can do such that by doing it, everything else will be easier or unnecessary. And the surprisingly simple truth behind extraordinary results is when you figure out what that one thing is that's more important than everything else, and you just focus on executing on that first, like that's when you really get crazy, crazy growth in your life. And you've experienced it, AJ. For me, my one thing was hiring an assistant, check. My one thing was launching the One Thing podcast, check. And now it's a product launch that we got coming up. So I'm just head down and running through walls, man.
That's amazing. Yeah, and I mean, I'm not just blowing smoke. Maybe I am a little bit, but I'm trying not to blow smoke at you, but it's literally exactly what we do every single day here ever since you said that. Corey, he's watching right now. He can attest to it. Every day we all have one thing that we have to do, and that's it. That's the one thing. You can do extra if you want, but we have one thing that we're responsible every day, and it makes it's a lot different because I feel like a lot of entrepreneurs or any sort of person wants to kind of at least for me, my tendency was to sprint and then like want to take a nap for a really long time. And it's a lot different to say, you know what, I'm just going to take one, you know, pretty big step every day and do that every day, no matter how much I feel, no matter if I have more energy or less energy. It's been hard for me, but it's been really great. So thank you one more time for that. Yeah. Let's get this rolling here. I'm going to turn off some countdowns. We're going to get started here. We're here with Jeff Woods, AJTV episode 20. We're going to talk about the one thing and one of my favorite topics, which is empire building, which Jeff has done really well. I've done it medium well. And I would say, again, that's thanks to Jeff. And so we're going to go ahead. We're going to get things rolling right now. And we'll cue some intro. We're not even going to do any sort of intro. Welcome to AJTV episode 20. Worst named show on the internet, where we interview top level entrepreneurs, authors, CEOs, executives, fitness business people, and we try to get all their ninja secrets from them, and hopefully we can learn. This is going to be a great one. We have Jeff Woods in the house, and he's got a whiteboard, so it's going to be anything can happen. So Jeff, thank you for being here, man.
You're welcome, AJ. That's the best intro ever. Meet Jeff Woods. This is going to be awesome. He has a whiteboard.
Yes. I mean, I feel like I did a pretty good level. He is, if you don't know him, the author of the Mentee podcast, or he is the founder of the Mentee podcast. He's the VP at Keller Williams Realty. He's in charge of the One Thing info, product course, training. He does masterminds. He's a business mentor for people. He does a whole bunch of different stuff. So if you don't know him, now you know. And again, thank you for being here. So what's good, man? What's going on?
Just living the dream, man. Focused on taking this book right here, The One Thing, and scaling it into a productivity empire. And just correction, I'm not a VP in Keller Williams. I office in the Keller Williams corporate headquarters, but I just run the company behind this book. So
apologies. Okay, sorry.
All
yes.
Good, man.
Anyways, all right, cool. So for somebody who doesn't know what The One Thing is, can you give kind of a brief overview? Obviously, they should just go read the book,
sure.
But give just a quick overview of somebody who's never heard of that before.
Yeah, it's a book. Business book of all time.
I agree.
You know, over 1 million copies sold, almost 400 bestseller appearances. It's just, it's exceptional. You know, it's all about how do you identify and find that thing that you must focus on, that one thing that you can do, such that by doing it, everything else is easier or unnecessary. And this was written by Gary Keller, who started Keller Williams, now the largest real estate company in the world, and his co-author, Jay Papasan. But it's literally how Gary has thought about approaching business every single day that allowed him to truly build an empire and become a titan of his industry.
Yeah, and I have my thoughts on it, but what do you think makes it different? There's a lot of business books out there by a lot of big names, and I have my thoughts, but I'd be interested, since you have the inside scoop, what do you think really makes it different than most business books and things like that and philosophy?
First and foremost, it is written so well. It is simple. When you read this, you go, wow, I get it. But at the same time, it literally busts every paradigm you have around productivity. It just shatters everything that you know to be true and repositions it in a way that says, wow, I really can do this. And you believe you can do it. You can start taking action. And I mean, you've said it, AJ, that the number of people that said it's transformed their life, including mine, by the way.
Yeah.
It's just, the evidence is there.
Yeah, and I agree. I think one of the things too is when I saw how many like bestseller lists I was on, I was like, man, this is gonna be hard for me to read. It's gonna be challenging. That was my thought immediately, because even though I read a lot, I don't know. I'm not necessarily, some things that are challenging for me, I just, you have a feel about it. All these, especially science-y books or high-level business books, and I was going through it and it was like a page turner. I was going through it like it was like a fiction novel. And it was, I just kept going and kind of soars through. And he just kind of gets to things quickly. He doesn't waste time, but he does do a good job of talking about kind of these ideas that we think we need to follow and kind of shattering them quickly and saying, no, actually you need to do this instead.
Exactly.
So yeah, I think it's awesome. All right, so one thing, if you're an entrepreneur, and I mean, obviously, and you're reading the book is gonna be the best possible thing for you, but applying all those principles in there, because it almost does give you, in its own way, step-by-step stuff to do, but Where do you start implementing a one thing mindset in your life? Is it in your personal life and your business? Is it both? Do they kind of come together? Do you start with one and then end up with the other? What would you say?
Well, here's what I would say. There are a lot of things that we can do every single day. There's a lot of things we feel like we need to do. Quite often, we'll make a to-do list of all of those items, but where do you begin? Most people begin by doing something that they can cross off the list really fast, something that's easy. There's a reason for this, by the way. You want to feel that sense of accomplishment. You want to build the momentum. And actually, in your mind, chemically, when you cross something off your list, there is a dopamine release in your brain. It chemically feels good to do that. Here's the challenge, though. Most people end up just doing all this stuff that's easy, and they end up not doing the things that matter most. Those oftentimes are the hardest things. What Gary and Jay would suggest is, instead of just doing things at random order, ask the question, what's the one thing I can do such that by doing it, everything else is easier or unnecessary? Start with the thing that actually matters most, and you do that first. It's not that we only have one thing in our entire life. We all have lots of things. But what's that one thing that you can do right now that you're just going to commit to doing first that makes everything else easier and necessary? And when you start becoming the type of person who, in your bones, you move through the day with a sense of purpose and priority, everything else changes.
Yeah, totally. Yeah, no, I think that's amazing. And I think, I don't remember if this quote was in that book or if I read it somewhere. It was definitely happening at the same time where Mark Twain kind of says, if you have to eat a frog, do it first thing in the morning, right? Mm-hmm. If you have to eat two frogs, eat the bigger one first. And that's kind of that same mindset, right? Do the one thing that maybe isn't the most fun, right? Maybe is the most challenging, but it has the biggest impact in your business or your life. I found that to be the case in my personal life as well. So, awesome, man. Let's talk about, because this is really where you started catching my attention, because the first time I met Jeff, unfortunately, I was being a cocky jerk. So, and he really, knocked me down a peg without being egotistical, just by being himself and being kind of a lighthouse, just illuminating everything that he possibly could. As Elder, Jesse Elder would say, right? And he started talking about empire building. And that's when he really caught my attention. Honestly, that's where he really started to grab my attention, because he started talking about this idea that all of us as entrepreneurs, presume everybody else in the world wants to be an entrepreneur. And why would you ever work for somebody else? And you just got to get people and make them feel like cogs in a machine, and then that's how you grow your empire. And his, the way he runs his businesses is completely the opposite. And it really felt just good to me listening to it, and it made sense. And ever since we implemented it in our business, we started doubling, literally tripling since we implemented what you talked. So can you talk about what empire building is, what kind of your philosophy is versus the common philosophy? What's up, Ben, Chris?
Sure, and I'm gonna hop on the whiteboard here and we're gonna make a little adjustment because I realize it'll be actually a lot better for you guys if I go ahead and put this thing up. So I'm gonna put it, we're gonna get crazy here. 1 second, I'm gonna reposition
my camera. This is happening.
So you guys can see better. This is real deal, folks.
This is live. This is why we do it live. Okay. So that when I make mistakes by not preparing Jeff, he's totally, it's fine.
Yeah, so, and this is not my idea. I got this from Gary Keller, which, you know, let's look at what he's built. He started Keller Williams, the real estate company. It was a small little real estate company here in Austin, Texas, and now there's 155,000 agents. It's number one in the world. So you don't go from little itty bitty company to titan of your industry by chance. There is something very specific that happens, and something he drew early on that really caught my attention. So what I'm drawing right here is a company. Let's assume that this is you. You're at the top as CEO. Can you see this, AJ?
Totally. We can 100% see it. Yep.
And you've got five people under you. All right, great. Now let's take that and compare it to this company right over here. You still got your five here. But those five have five. And those five have five. Mm-hmm. And those five have five. Yeah. What is the difference that made the difference between this company over here that has six people and this company over here that has 155,000? What's the difference that made the difference?
You asking me?
Well, you probably know the answer now. But for anybody who's watching this, right here,
the top five.
It's your five. Mm-hmm. Now the people on the left, you've got five people. This company on the right, you have five empire builders. Mm-hmm. So what is an empire builder? This is where we're gonna erase the board with my low tech eraser called a paper napkin. We're gonna start over. Another thing I saw Gary draw, he put three dots on the board. Let's assume that this dot right here represents you. This dot represents everything you could possibly ever want in your life. All the money, all the fame, all the experiences, all the charity, everything that you could possibly ever want in your life, all of that is represented by this circle right here. That's you. This is me. This is my life. This is everything that I could possibly want in my life. This is AJ with his hat on. All right. This is everything AJ could possibly want. Think about a time you had a job and you decided to leave. Why did you leave? The answer is because one day you woke up and you realized there is no way I can possibly have everything I could possibly ever want in my life inside the world of that company. Mm-hmm. So with that being said, is there any way that I could recruit you into my world and keep you forever? No, because your life, everything that you want is just as much as I want. You can't have everything you want inside of my world without taking everything away from me. You can't have everything you want inside of AJ's world without taking away from him. That's the reason top talent leaves. Mm-hmm. Gary Keller a long time ago asked a really interesting question. What would I have to do to give myself permission to make my world so big that you can step into my world, have everything you could possibly ever want, and remain inside my world? I remember when I was interviewing for the opportunity to become a partner with Gary and Jay to take over the company around the one thing. And Jay asked me, he said, 5 years out, what does an amazing life look like? And we talked in very specific areas. He said, how much money do you want to be making? I told him a number, and it was a very big number. And he goes, cool. We're willing to give ourselves permission to make our world as big as it needs to be so you can have that. But make no mistake about it, you will create the opportunity. It is up to you to create that opportunity. We're just willing to let our world expand. This is, you have people who are employees, you have people who are entrepreneurs. This right here is the concept of an intrapreneur. An entrepreneur who steps inside an existing structure and is able to have everything they could possibly ever want to have. So when we go back to that diagram where you've got, you know, your five, you're not just looking for a COO. You're looking for an executive assistant who has the capacity to become a COO. You're not looking for a CFO. You're looking for a CPA or a controller who has the capacity to become an executive. You are looking for somebody who is so destined to build an empire on their own, they just don't know it yet. And can you recruit them into your world and give them full permission to create any single opportunity and give yourself the permission to step back and just mentor them and allow your world to expand as big as it needs to expand so that you can keep them? That's what it takes to build an empire.
Love it. I remember this, like, I play this in my head all the time, literally exactly what you're saying, but I'm going to play devil's advocate here and say, how do I make my business big enough to attract that top talent? And why wouldn't a top talent, I guess you answered that question, that is why top talent leaves, because I'm not making the world big enough, right?
I have a real world case study off of this based since you and I met last time. So,
okay, let's do it.
I was in medical device sales for 5 years before this. Just a medical device sales guy. I'm making good money. It's a good life. But a series of events happened that made me wake up and realize, oh my gosh, I've got to do something different. Primarily the fact that they slashed my income by 40% and I couldn't say a thing about it. That made me say, I need to be in control of my future. Okay. I launch a podcast called The Mentee, where I'm the mentee and I'm just recording the conversations with my mentors. Some of them happen to be really big names. Cool. That was the podcast. I turned that into a six-figure business. It was the fact that I had a sales background and a finance background because I was an accounting major and I understood content marketing that made me the fit to run this company. So here I am running six-figure business while holding down medical device job. I step inside the world of the one thing. And one day Gary and Jay say to me, we want you to be the face of the one thing. I go, awesome, but I have a problem. How can I be the face of the one thing and have two things? Yeah. I can't be the face of the one thing and the face of the mentee. That's when most people would say, well, I guess I'll just shut down the mentee. That's when Jay looked at me and said, no, Jeff, look at everything we taught you. You've established the structure with the mentee. You know, it's a six-figure business. It's not like I'm going out and recruiting some amazing high-level person, right? You know, it's cash flow positive, but it's not like making it rain. But he says, could you give yourself permission to make your world so big that you could recruit somebody to step into your world and run the mentee and make that their opportunity? I don't know, but I figured I would find out. So, you know, there were two opportunities. One, to take over the show. I ended up just throwing out there to my audience, hey, I'm looking for somebody to step in as the mentee for season two and I'll become the mentor, one of the mentors. Had hundreds of people apply. Someone realized that if they could step in, they could expand their world rapidly if they stepped into mine. It worked out really, really well. But then there's the business side on the back end of it. I ended up finding some. Realized they weren't a number one. They were not destined to be the CEO. They needed somebody that could kind of mentor and guide them. And I was able to recruit him into my world and just basically say, look, man, like, you create the opportunity, you build it, you can have everything you can possibly want. And it's the truth. But I think it starts with you realizing that you internally need to just give yourself permission to start recruiting that person. And in the moments, you're testing for the fact, can they cast a vision? Can they create new revenue streams? Are they destined to build an empire on their own? And if they did it in your world, they're going to pay for themselves.
Yeah, no, I'm with you. I 100% agree. I think that's very well said, and I think it's the difference between a lot of the entrepreneurs who kind of bottleneck themselves, right? Because they want to run everything all alone because they're afraid, right? I was very much the same way. They're afraid, and I don't know, how do you get rid of that fear mine was just listening to you talk for 8 hours. But like, how do you, if they don't have 8 hours, right? How do you get rid of that fear that somebody's going to come in and like, quote unquote, steal your company? Because a lot of these online entrepreneurs, a lot of these DM guys, even personal trainers, when I was a trainer, right? I was afraid I can't hire a trainer too good because they'll steal my entire company. How do you prevent that?
That's scarce thinking, but that's also the question of, have you built a protective moat around your business?
Okay. What do you mean by that?
You know, when Gary teaches a class called Empire Builders, which is his 13 steps to building a billion-dollar company, one of the steps is, what's your protective moat? You have to have some type of a moat around your business that protects it. Otherwise, what the heck are you doing? Like, just, and if you don't have that today, then start asking the question, how can I develop some type of protective moat? That's a side element. But bottom line, it's scarce thinking. The truth is, if somebody can have everything they could possibly want inside your world, why would they leave?
They won't.
You giving yourself permission to stretch there. But here's something I'll share with you, because a lot of entrepreneurs go through this, that control thing where they don't think anybody can do it as well as them, you know, blah, blah, blah. I'm writing up on the board, I to we, to they, to theirs. You see all that, AJ?
Yep, we can totally see it.
Okay, cool. So when I do it, when you do it, you have a job. Whether you're an employee or a business owner, when you do it, you have a job in that business. Now, let's say you bring on your first person, employee, contractor, you bring in leverage, and you guys do it together. Guess what? You still have a job. Your job is now mentoring. Your job is now mentoring that person, right?
Yeah. Yep.
You still have a job. But when they can do it, you suddenly cross this line that we call freedom. Now you free yourself from that part of the job. That's true leverage. But when you go from just them doing it to them feeling like it's theirs, because they have a sense of ownership over it, whether literally they have ownership in the form of equity or whether they just feel a sense of ownership, that's when you get to cross the next line. The line to building an empire.
Interesting.
How can you recruit amazing, talented people into your world and cast a vision for them that is so bright and give them permission to say, feel a sense of ownership over that? This is your opportunity. We're willing to mentor you, to back you, to do whatever it takes, but make no mistake about it, it's you, and you will own this. It's exactly what Gary and Jay did with me. They said, come on in, you know, it's your baby to run. Go create something, and you will get to own what you create.
That's pretty awesome.
I don't, you know, who knows what happens in 5-10 years, but people ask me, like, how long do you think you're going to be there? I don't see myself leaving. I don't have a reason to, because where else am I going to go where I'm going to get mentored from people at the level of like a Gary Keller? How much would you pay to get mentored from a person like that, let alone them pay you? This is about, how can you sharpen your own saw and become the type of person who can bring so much value to other people that top talent is begging to come work for you, and they'll do it at a discount.
Yeah. Awesome. Yeah, I think that's amazing. I think too, I'll add, and this is something you said, but I'll echo it for anybody watching this live or on replay or whatever, is that a lot of times we assume that the thing that the people in our, like our empire builders, right, our top five, we always assume the thing they want is more money, and that's not always necessarily the case at all. They might want just like a balance, or they want to be creative and control, or to have their input heard. I know with my empire builders, I have three empire builders, which, you know, we actually came together. You gave me an idea of the three I needed, and we filled them very shortly afterwards. And they all want different things, which is interesting. One of them wants a lot of money, and one of them wants hey, I just want to be able to work, you know, have a lot of freedom and have a lot of creative control is the word they use. And so we can facilitate that. And that's a lot simpler. And we don't have to guess anymore. We don't have to just keep throwing money at the problem where somebody is now working for double and still unhappy because all they wanted was to be heard. So I think it's a wonderful idea in any type of business. And again, I think it's a great thing you're doing and even sharing it now.
Don't assume what drives people. You know, finances may be a portion of it, but at the end of the day, they did a study. It's like after 75,000 or something like that, there is incredible diminishing return on every additional dollar that you make. You know, you saw my executive assistant who came in right before this. I knew that I was not just looking for an EA. I was looking for a future COO and possibly somebody who could replace me as CEO. Because if you look at the org chart, here's what true empire. If this is you as CEO, as long as you're in that spot, guess what you have?
Yeah.
A job. You're a job. Mm-hmm. You have a job in that business. Gary Keller has not been the CEO of Keller Williams for a very, very long time. Because he was one day able to recruit a true empire builder who could replace him as CEO so he could just step over here and be chairman. Mm-hmm. Now his job is just to constantly asking the question, what's the business that's going to put us out of business? And how do I go create that business first? How do I continue to bring amazing talent into my world and let them create the opportunities? It's been about Mary, Mo, Chris, like are these CEOs, people who are past CEOs and current CEO of Keller Williams coming into the world and them growing the organization, not Gary. It's been about them. So you just have to recognize like, sourcing talent, you will always have a job forever. You will never have an empire until you can succeed through others. It's just what it takes.
That's amazing. And you said something really interesting that caught selfishly my own attention, which was how can Gary Keller's job is now to find what can put him out of business and how can he create it first? Is that something that has been happening over and over again in
yes.
Keller Williams?
Yes. Yes. Yes, and I can cite two very specific examples. Keller Williams started to get some traction here in Austin. Gary had some really great people under him. They were growing fast. And then a little company named Remax came out. And overnight, they decimated Gary's business because they completely changed the model. Instead of taking a percentage of every sale or every closing, they did a model that said, basically, you pay us a flat fee just to hold your license here. We're not going to market for you. We're not going to do any of the admin. But you get to keep all your commission. And overnight, all the top producers left. And within a certain period of time, they came back and took almost everybody else. So Gary had to look up and ask the question, what's the business that will put us out of business and how do I go create first? What kind of company would Keller Williams have to be so that no agent would ever need to leave again? Again, that abundant thinking, how can I give myself permission? What kind of company would I have to create so that no agent would ever need to leave again? He redesigned what Keller Williams was and boom, you know, then we start to get the growth. We're at that inflection point again, where for decades, Gary would say that Keller Williams is not a real estate company. It's a training and education company that happens to be real estate. He knew that if he could be teaching this to his agents, teaching them not just how to be salespeople, but how to be business owners, they would never need to leave. But that's not even enough anymore. Now Keller Williams will say they're a technology company that happens to be in the real estate space. And so there's a bunch of stuff they're doing on the back end to be a tech company. Legit, you should see half of our building is IT people and really high-end people, really high-end professionals. But just constantly innovating, constantly innovating, constantly innovating, always.
Wow. Awesome. No, I think that's great. And that's big thinking, because I think a lot of times with businesses, especially me, especially if you're starting or broke when you start, like that's all you're thinking of is how can I not be broke? You're thinking of next month and you're not thinking of the next 2, 5, 10, 20 years. You're not really thinking about a business. You're just thinking about how can I make more money in my job today? And that's a lot different.
Well, and this is something that Gary and Jay talk about in the book, and it's a concept called goal setting to the now. But, you know, one of the worst things that can happen to you in your life is that you arrive at your deathbed with regret.
Yeah.
Legitimately regretting certain things. And so how can you ask the question, you know, what do I want my life to be about? What's the legacy I want to leave? What are the things I want to have? What are the experiences I want to share? And to go all the way out to that big someday goal and to identify what all those things are. So if this was all the experiences and everything, and how do you work backwards to the point where you identify today the single action that you need to take that if you did that would lead to tomorrow, and that would lead then to the next day, and to the next day, and to the next day, and to the next day. And what you're seeing happen here is when you do the right thing, the right one thing consistently, it doesn't just knock over other things. It begins to grow exponentially. So do the one thing consistently, and you end up having this geometric hockey stick growth over the long run. To just act randomly throughout the day is a destination to nowhere. But if you can be intentional about where you're going and making sure that every day you are purposeful with what you are doing, that's when you end up truly enjoying an extraordinary life.
That's amazing. And he says that in the book too. He talks about like the domino, like you can knock over a small domino, and it kind of looks like that when you're drawing it. That's why I was thinking about it. The small domino that knocks over eventually that huge domino by knocking all the other ones in between it down.
Well, and it's backed in research. A domino can't just knock over another domino. It can actually knock over a domino that's 50% larger. So a 2-inch domino can knock over a 3-inch domino. A 3-inch domino can knock over a 4.5-inch domino. By the 18th domino, that single 2-inch domino, by the 18th one, could knock over the Eiffel Tower. No, that's the Leaning Tower of Pisa. By the 23rd domino, it's the Eiffel Tower. By the 31st domino, it would knock down something that loomed 3,000 feet above Everest. By the 57th domino, it could knock down a structure that would stand from the Earth to the Moon. Like, this is what extraordinary results look like. It's that hockey stick growth. So when you get clear on what the right one thing is and you just focus on knocking that down first, that's when you enjoy hockey stick growth in your life.
Amazing. Oh my gosh. Jeff, that's gold you're giving these people. I gold, and I really appreciate it. It's been gold to me. I invested a lot of money to hear you say that, and I appreciate you just giving that away for my audience. I really do. Cool. I know you have to jump off here in a minute or two. I want to respect your time, but I know you're a wealth of knowledge. So if somebody wants to like follow your stuff, maybe listen to some of your older podcasts, maybe season one of The Mentee or whatever, what's the best way to get in contact with you?
So if you're a podcast listener, you got two options. First is the One Thing Podcast. So it's spelled out, the O-N-E Thing Podcast, and it looks just like this. I'm doing two episodes a week right now, just talking about a lot of this stuff as well. Because a lot of people have read the book, but they struggle to live it. And so that's the purpose of the podcast. You have the Mentee Podcast, so you can go all the way back to episode one. And, you know, now we're at two, where somebody else is running the show, and it's awesome. But our website's theonething.com. That's with the number one. And we got lots of resources on there.
Awesome. Jeff, thank you once more for being on here. I really do appreciate it. I know you're super busy, and hopefully we can hang out sometime soon.
Yeah, and one thing, I want to acknowledge you, AJ. Consuming content is one thing. You've heard this. You heard me at that mastermind speak. You did something different. You took action. So for the people who are watching this, what's just one thing that you got from this? Just one that you actually can take action on. Not meaning you think you should, you hope you could, you feel like you should. You actually have the capacity to take action on it. You can do it. Now go freaking do it. Because AJ, you did, and your business tripled.
Literally, yeah. And it's 100% because I did one thing that Jeff told. Like, he didn't tell me to do it, actually. He just put that information out there. And and it's very powerful. The stuff Jeff's telling you right now, there's a lot of powerful stuff out there, but the power of taking any single action and moving forward and committing to it is a lot better than just watching a million videos, much as I want you to watch this video. So if you are watching this, I'll echo Jeff, say, you know, leave it in the comments. Say, what's the one thing you're gonna do today, this week, to change your life? Maybe you're thinking about being an entrepreneur and you haven't done it yet. Or maybe you've been doing it and you've been stuck. So totally. Yep. I appreciate that, man.
And if you guys have any questions, you want to email me directly, it's just jeff@theonething.com, and that's with a G. So where'd my magic pen go?
You can throw it in the comments too.
jeff@theonething.com.
He didn't give me his email after our first conversation.
Well, you didn't ask for it.
That's true. I didn't ask for it. I should have asked.
There were other people that did.
Yes, there were. There are a lot of people who asked a lot of things, I think. All right, cool. Awesome. Jeff Woods and the one thing. Thank you so much for being here one last time. If you guys enjoyed this video, I don't want any money. I don't want anything. I just want you to maybe hit the heart. Or even the angry face, if you don't like the way I look, that's cool. Hit it with an angry face, maybe share it, maybe tag a friend, put your one thing in the comment, and we'll see you next week. Same bat time, same bat channel.